What's the source of wisdom? How can you live a more conscious life? Sometimes it's the questions that bring you your own quantum leaps. Wisdom Talk Radio brings you conversations with visionary thinkers, business mentors, and provocative authors and teachers, along with resources that point the way for you to claim your potential in service to the world. Join Laurie Seymour at Wisdom Talk Radio for explorations in conscious living. Subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcast or find us at Wisdom Talk Radio on Facebook.
Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome back to the Sensitivity Doctor. I hope you had a wonderful holiday. And I cannot wait to kick off the new year with a super positive message with Dr. Gina Anderson. She is the CEO of Luma Brighter Learning. She is a TEDx speaker. That's where I met her. She's wonderful. And she is a learning scientist. And so today we unpack why you need to get rid of resolutions. Okay, we've all heard that before, but then it's like, what do you do then? We're gonna tell you. We talk about how instead of resolutions, we look at the science of connection and what happens in learning science when we are in connection. And not only that, we're going to break down for you what to do if you're highly sensitive, introverted, have experienced trauma, just generally maybe just don't like being around people. How do you do this? How do you lean into 2026 in a state of connection that increases the beautiful brain that you have and its ability to adapt and feel safe? You're gonna learn all of this and more with Dr. Gina Anderson today on The Sensitivity Doctor. Enjoy. Well, Dr. Gina, I'm thrilled you're here. You are gonna be helping me kick off the new year on The Sensitivity
Doctor.
Oh,
I love that. Let's do that.
Yes. And the reason I really wanted you to be the first voice that people heard for the new year is not only because you are so super positive. For anyone listening, I got to meet Dr. Gina Anderson at our TEDx talk in Raleigh. So please check her talk out. It was memorable. Like, you actually like had us, we got a gift basically during it. So it was amazing. But something I love about your message, and I was hoping today we can maybe dive into a little bit of like the science behind your message, is you talk a lot about connection and learning. And what I want to propose we kick off for people listening is eliminate the idea of a resolution. Stop putting pressure on yourself for perfection and the, you know, when Monday hits, I'll do this kind of energy. And instead, what if this next year, it wasn't let's have resolutions, it was let's pick something new to learn and let's pick someone new to connect with.
Oh, I love that. Every day a connection, right? It's so important. You know, it's like you said, it's for our mental health. Our brain actually releases chemicals, and you know this, you know, with your work and specifically how we feel. And so it's really easy when you do a resolution is to not to meet it and feel bad. So I love that idea. So let's do the challenge of connection, one connection. And being present in those moments that we do make those connections and following up with them is so impactful because, look, everyone has something they're struggling with. And that doesn't mean you wait for someone to connect with you. Like, right. Make that first connection because it'll change both of you.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So for someone listening, HSPs, for example, highly sensitive people who love to listen to the podcast, or a lot of people that listen have endured trauma or have left abuse. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why someone might struggle with connection. What would you say to those folks who are maybe even potentially thinking, well, this conversation's not for me because this is something I struggle with. There's no way I'm going to connect with someone every day.
Yeah. So connection doesn't have to happen with another person. It actually can happen with yourself. And in fact, one of the most strongest connections for neural synapse and how you feel is a connection you have with your own mind. So I would say this, don't put pressure on yourself to, quote, make a friend. That's not really what it's about, but it's really about making a friend with yourself. Because if you can sit in a quiet place and you can really ask yourself different questions, deep questions about who you are, you know, like ask yourself and tell yourself, I'm alive. You're alive in this new year. And really getting to understand your own thoughts and your own energy can really change you. And then once you do that and you can do that, you don't have to stop. Then when you walk into the room, that energy is there. You don't even need to do anything because you have discovered that inner voice of love and positivity and who you are. I call that your true self. And once you uncover that, you can live a life of presence and energy that changes not only yourself, but other people without you even having to make that external connection with another person. You can walk into a room, you can harness that connection with yourself and that energy, and you can make other people feel good without even speaking. And that's real. And it's powerful. And it's, we each have a brain. And it doesn't matter what neurodivergence or what trauma you've been through, everyone has a different unique structure, a different unique chemical makeup of their brain. And that's okay, but we can tap into what we have to change our lives. And that's the beauty of connection.
Oh, I love that. I was actually, as I'm listening to you, thinking, I think she has her next TED Talk planned.
No, you know, interestingly, I had this idea about unseen perspectives because we all show up, but what we don't see is that trauma that you've been, that everyone has been through, whether it's bullying, whether it's abuse, whatever that trauma has been, it breaks us and it doesn't have to. You know, we have the power to recognize it, accept it, and become, you know, aware of it so that we can move forward. And I think that's the beautiful nature of connection.
So for people who are afraid to go out and make the connections, you know, maybe they don't want to make best friends with their barista or join a large meetup group. This is funny because for anyone listening, we had a technical glitch and we're starting over with this question again, which cracks me up because that was the best part of your talk. So if anyone watching is watching us laugh at this question, that's why. I just love, you know, keeping it real. So, but anyways, I was asking you, what do people who feel like I don't really want to go out and make friends every day that feels unsafe or overwhelming, or maybe I'm an introvert or highly sensitive. You started speaking to me about this beautiful perspective that it doesn't have to be with others all the time. Can you talk on that again?
Yeah. So when people say connection, I think we automatically think of connection with other people. But really, the most beautiful connection you can have is with yourself. And it is one of the most powerful modes of learning for learning science and neural connections. And so I challenge people to think about not putting pressure on yourself of having to go make connections with other people, but really spending time with your own self and your own self-discovery to really understand who you are, your true core self. Because when you can unlock that, it's beautiful. And when you walk into a room, you know, people will recognize that when you're ready to do that. And so it's truly about building this connection with yourself that you probably have never gone there. And it may not be comfortable because you've never really ask yourself, who am I? Who truly am I at the core of my soul?
Mm-hmm. I love that because it reminds me a lot of the work I do with folks who are struggling with self-esteem, or they say their concept of self, like, I don't know who I am after this relationship or after this loss or this trauma. And what I often remind them is that sometimes we figure out who we are when we are trying to figure out what we don't want.
Oh,
you know, and we don't know what we don't want. We don't know what our boundaries are until we know what we do want. And to your point, we're not really going to be able to build our self-esteem. And I guess I should say self-esteem is, you know, just the innate belief that you deserve to be treated with love and safety and respect just because you exist. Mm. Whereas self-confidence is I can walk into the room and do my TED talk. That's
right.
So you can have low self-esteem and high confidence. I think that confuses folks sometimes.
I love that definition because it's true, you know, and I think that to discover your true self, you really have to identify your own values of who you are at the core. Because honestly, we are born in this world and we're looking for acceptance from our parents and love from our parents. So it's always external, this external desire versus internal. So yeah, definitely. I love that description because I think a lot of people don't really realize that.
Mm-hmm. And to that point, if we did not receive that acceptance and love for our parents and or, and it doesn't even necessarily have to be a parent, it could be a primary attachment figure, it could be a very close relationship in the future, but in those formative years when you're learning what comfort and safety and connection feels like, for those who feel like they can't tap into that in their body, it reminds me of clients I work with who struggle with the word safe. I could see how connection may also feel intimidating. How would you, on a very just kind of 101 explanation for you and for maybe others, mm-hmm. what would connection feel like?
Yeah, I think connection, when you think about as a young child, something that you really loved, like maybe it's a warm, cozy blanket. I love that today. Maybe it's like a stuffed animal or something that made you feel love and warmth and safety. I think for me, and it's taken a lot of practice of being in very dark times, when you go through trauma or you go through something traumatic and you get into that dark place and it's in kind of that chemical reaction that happens within us, if you focus on your true self and your true values, it almost for me feels like a warmth, like a warm feeling, and I call it love. And so however you define love and your values of who you are, that's what it feels like. Inside of me, it's a warmth. And I can get there and I can feel it because I practice it. This isn't something that like happens overnight. This is like something like you say, like this year, give yourself daily love, you know, and what does that feel like to you? Like give yourself that and that connection. That's the connection you want. You want to feel that spark and that heat inside of you. And that's the energy that you can display.
Mm-hmm. Is your dog wanting to come join our podcast
maybe. Right now? Maybe. Can you hear her out there? She is. She's probably outside my door.
She's welcome to join. Everyone it's here knows about Lenny.
Oh, yeah. It's lunch, almost lunchtime, you know, so.
She's like, Mom, I want to connect with you so I can connect with my food.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I like that you described like the warmth. And then I think earlier you were also saying excitement. Uh-huh. I think we can feel different sensations during connection. For me, sometimes I very much get that dopamine hit of excitement with the connection. But it reminds me of when we kind of can get into that roller coaster of like a new exciting relationship and how we need to define the difference between excitement and safety. And I think one of the things I try to be aware of is at any point, does that excitement settle enough where I feel like I can just kind of be quiet or exist or just be around the person without masking? That's usually a big thing I try to pay attention to.
I love that. That's so important to really identify those different feelings that you have and where it's stemming from. Like, is that feeling coming from something external? Like when you run, that energy of running and the physical activity actually makes you feel maybe similar to when you're meditating or when you have self-thought of, you know, who you are yourself, you could have similar feelings. So I think for me, really the importance is to recognize how that feeling is being generated. Because when you can become the master of generating that same feeling within your own thoughts, that connection changes the structure and the chemicals of your brain. And it is so powerful that when you see it on brain scans, this is called neuroplasticity and you're familiar with it. But when you look at, you know, different medical studies that show this happening, You can have trauma and have your gray, you can have your white and gray matter really be impacted, but that doesn't mean that it has to stay that way. The reality is you can see physical changes happening within us when we can utilize these metrics of chemicals that we can control with our own thoughts to change us. And that's the beauty of learning science and neuroscience, because for many, many decades, this has been studied. This isn't new science. This is real. And I think the challenge for many people, and it's hard, we don't spend enough time being quiet with ourselves to feel that. We're looking for it. There was a study that just came out this morning about the short videos and how it's like making us feel terrible. And we know this, right? It's like this constant like external hit of content connection, because that's a different connection. Because you do get, there's actually five modes of learning science. Learner to content is one connection, and that connection can make us feel really bad. Now, we can feel that same warmth initially, but we're going to end up feeling bad. So each of the connections have meaning and different purpose, but learner to self is so, I think, is something we should focus on for 2026.
I'm so intrigued. I think you're talking about popcorn brain, right? I read some sort of like headline about they're calling it popcorn brain, where you're just kind of firing all over the place. It's very unnatural. It makes me think about, so as someone who puts content out there personally, is all the content that we're putting out to help people making them feel bad?
You know, I don't think it's that.
This is just your opinion.
Right. No, I don't think it's content inherently makes you feel bad. I think it's the fact that we're spending a lot of time with content and not with connection with others and ourselves. Okay. When you spend 8.5 hours, like this was my TEDx talk, when you spend 8.5 hours and you're on your phone and you're just dealing with content, you're missing that neural synapse that needs to happen when you're looking at somebody else or you're looking within yourself. And I think that's the piece that we're missing. You can read content and it makes you educated and you learn, but how long are you doing that for? You know, are you doom scrolling for 3 hours at night instead of having a meaningful conversation with your friend or even quiet with yourself without the phone? So I think that's not really my opinion. It is I've experienced it. You know, I've been on Facebook and thought and scrolled and scrolled and said, this is just making me feel worse.
Yeah.
You know, why is that? You know, how many times have you thought that and you keep doing it? So there's so much research around it and learning science.
It makes sense when I think about the difference. I'm thinking about a personal example and then also something from Jonathan Haidt's new book about the anxious generation. Have you read that book?
I haven't. I should.
So good. It's so good. Uh-huh. But like personally, I can think of a very big difference if I have clients back to back, and this is like guilty therapist admission here. In between, like, let's say I have a 15-minute break and I'm like, okay, I'm going to knock my notes out. I'm going to open mail. I'm going to instead go sit on my couch and scroll. Right. And sometimes it actually feels really good. Like it feels like almost relaxing. Like I'm exactly the parts of the brain where you're just really attending and all of that. So I can feel a difference between what that feels like and it feels, you know, more positive versus during my 10-hour drive back from the city over Thanksgiving and I'm just like digesting junk online as I'm sitting in the passenger seat just killing time, and eventually you feel like you can feel the heaviness in your body. And it kind of makes me think of from the anxious generation how they're saying, yes, in some ways kids who are on social media are having more connections, but they're not engaging in certain things like problem solving, relationship, the ebb and flow, the back and forth, the regulation of the nervous system and the vagus nerve. So that makes a lot of sense why the difference between like a shallow connection, you said learner to content, is that what you called it?
Yep.
versus learner to self, or is it learner to learner? What would it be called? Mm-hmm. Is it learner to learner?
It's like learner to learner.
Me talking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
And actually the most powerful learner to learner connection for the neural synapse for information processing for memory is more than two people. So it's actually three or more people. And for that memory to be able to be recalled later at an extended time. So there's a lot of studies that study information processing and memory. And this is one of the reasons why it was so impactful for me with my mom who had dementia, is that she spent a lot of time doom scrolling. And the thing is, like, if she would have went out, now again, you have to be willing to do this. If she herself felt and was connected to her why and purpose and went out and was with more than one person or two people, that helped stretch that portion of her brain and thinking that would make her feel better. And there's so much research on it. And the thing is, we're spending a lot of time learning from our phone. But, you know, if you think about like puzzles, like there's puzzles on your phone. The doctor told my mom, just play puzzles on your phone. But think about when you play a puzzle and you have it on a table and there's three people there and you're doing it together. That's a different experience cognitively and emotionally, you know? So even though you're playing maybe a puzzle online with people, it's different. And so, I mean, I own a learning company and I can see the neural, like the connections, engagement that happen when you do these different interaction modes. Learner to teacher is another one, but the way the teacher interfaces, it's not the teacher disseminating passive content that's powerful. It's being next to the person, showing them, mentoring them, letting them explore and problem solve. So, I mean, there's a lot of opportunity for connection that we don't even consider that impact us professionally and personally.
Okay, I have so many thoughts. First and foremost, is the wild affirmation you just gave me for my treatment protocol for women with ADHD. It's something that is being developed in 2026, guys. Big things are happening.
Oh, I love
it.
That. Let's
big things,
do it.
Conferences, yeah. Books. Like it's a whole vibe. I'm excited. I'm excited to share about it. One of the pillars of the treatment that I'm putting together for women with ADHD, and this is also really anyone, but especially women, and I'm curious, actually, I want to know if you have any science on like gender difference at all with connection, but is that I saw a need to include one of the pillars. You're going to love this.
Yeah.
One of the pillars is actually community.
Oh,
instead of it just being you as therapist and ADHD superhero woman one-on-one, I have seen so much value the group I'm doing.
So
I've had these women I've worked with for years who are making improvements that until we started this online community and the Powered by ADHD group, I'm seeing so much more change.
Exactly.
And so I didn't know why. I just thought, getting to relate and see each other. But now you just gave me science.
Yes.
For
it's
why
real.
This is.
It's
That's
real.
So cool. I have goosebumps. I'm so excited.
Oh, I love it. It's so real. There's so much studying being done on that. And, you know, when we were in school, you think about you did group work and it was, you know, you did it because, you know, you're doing projects, but the understanding that happens and the neural connections that happen, it changes us. And I think that's why there's so many benefits of whoever designed the addiction programs with the cognitive behavior therapy models of group kind of collaboration. Like if you're an alcoholic and you go to, you know, AAA and you go to those, they have to go to those sessions together. And I'm not sure if it's still done in person or not, but you know,
very much in person now still.
Okay. Yeah. So if you think about maybe there was different reasoning for doing that, but I'm sure a lot of those people stay together and they communicate together and they collaborate together because something was changed within them during that process. But it's science. It's not just for the good of that piece of it, but our brains and our chemicals and our structures, they change. And I am so passionate about it because I've seen when you talk about safety on the road, semi trucks, what I deal with, it's like you want them. You don't want to be in a school bus of kids next to a semi unless you know that they are cognitively engaged in the process. And so I feel like learning science is so important for individuals, but also professionally at organizations.
So I'm curious, and you might know the answer to this, and or this is just my little like hypothesizing brain. So I'm trying to think of why more than two people would make the difference. And one thing that, well, two things come to my mind. I'm going to guess, and I want to know if you know. Uh-huh. One thing is that I could see where mirroring. So when you and I are talking just one-on-one, I'm seeing your reaction to me only. But if we add one other person, I'm seeing your reaction to me in our interaction, but I'm also seeing someone else's impression of our interaction. So I can almost see how it would create this complexity where we're no longer just having this you to me dynamic, but it's you to me and you to we. So it kind of expands it. That's just one.
Yeah, I'll send you research studies on it. It's pretty powerful because you actually see the neural engagement in the scans and the brain scans. And it's more of the activity that's happening within those synapses that are going on. So it may be part of mirroring, but I think that what is happening is probably you're processing more perspective or more idea that's expanding the scaffolds that you have built that is creating more reaction of
more opportunity.
Well, I think more opportunity to think and engage with that content or that information that changes the way that we process and think about our current paths of information that have been mapped in our brain, because everything is connected of what we've learned in the past. And so you have to build new information to change that structure, and it's always changing. So if you just have one person, it could, but if it doesn't match maybe what you've understood, maybe, and I don't know this because I haven't read the research on this piece, but maybe having an additional perspective strengthens that understanding or belief. But I do know that the way that our neural maps work, you can see how you engage in information. And so regardless, I think the more opportunity you have, you know, for that, and it probably too, the feeling that you get from being with multiple people probably makes an impact too. So there's probably not only an emotional, but a cognitive component to it. But I love that idea. I love that you have that in your book, but I can't wait to hear more about it.
And I mean, it seems to make sense too, if you think from a survival perspective too, you know, two folks in a cave trying to stay alive are probably less profitable than three. So if we really get down to brass tacks about it.
Right.
But as far as, so thank you everyone for joining our chapter two of this session where we went totally nerded out on connection.
Yeah.
So let's connect this then to folks listening and they're thinking, okay, great. So all I need is three people or all I need is two more people. What if, you know, I'm getting back to the idea of someone letting go of the idea of a resolution and instead making this connection and learning as a general scope, their resolution. Do you think it would work? Do you know what internal family systems is?
Mm-mm, I don't.
So it's a mode of, it's a model and theory of therapy created by Richard Schwartz that looks at the brain and our perception of the mind and the self as a collection of parts. And so we're not just Dr. Gina, we're Dr. Gina as the self, but then also, you know, the managerial part that gets yourself places on time, the child part that may not be attended to as often. I mean, there's countless parts you could I'm just really breaking this down very simply. When we go back to what we were saying about, hey guys, you can just connect with yourself this year on a daily basis.
Right.
I wonder if we take the science of connecting with more than one person and apply that internally. Like, what if you think about the part of you that shows up during meditation, which is usually the self. And then maybe you get curious. There's a lot of curiosity with IFS work. You get curious about the part of you that shows up when you're nervous or the part of you that shows up when you're angry. I wonder if that would increase your connection to the self, similar to how it would if you're in a group of two or more people, or three or more people.
Yeah, because I think it lets you explore the questions that define your true values and your true self. Because when you really think about that, becomes everything that you live by. If you can identify those pieces that make you up and who you are, it can change you. And look, I mean, I don't think anyone, I tell my team this every day, I don't think anyone comes to work or goes to work thinking, I'm going to do a bad job today. Like, I don't want to show up. I mean, you may feel off. You may not feel like good about how you're showing up, but you don't want to make today be a bad day. So
unless you're Michael Scott on The Office.
Oh, well, maybe. But I really do believe that.
But most people, yes.
Right. We want to show up our true self. And really, we define that uniquely as our values and who we are. But I like the idea of your values come from a lot of different aspects and perspectives of who you are. You know, I'm a mom, I'm a parent, you know, I'm whatever it is. It's like those pieces make up your who you are. So you definitely have to offer that to yourself. I love that.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say would be two or three things you really hope people listening will make sure to do this year then going forward? If you had a wish list, genie's lamp, you could say,
I love that.
Please do these three things, and feel free to expand on them as much as you want, because I kind of want this last chapter of our time today to be almost an action plan, like a way people can take what we talked about and really apply it to 2026.
I would tell you this, you might not be feeling good, and maybe you started your year off and you feel like you've lost something. You know, everyone has lost something in their life. But the reality is, just because you've lost doesn't mean that you don't show up. So the first thing I would say is send a text today to someone. It could be someone that you cross paths with at work. It could be maybe a friend you haven't talked to in a very long time. Maybe when you go into a grocery store, you walk in and you say hello to someone. But if you can connect with one other person, it can make you feel better. And I would say you send that message, it's not only making that person feel better, but it's going to make you feel better. So connection with others changes both of us. So my first recommendation, it doesn't have to cost anything. Just send a message today to someone that you have gratitude for, that you have had gratitude for. So that's the first thing. The second thing I would say is definitely get out and get moving. You know, go out and take a walk in the fresh air, crisp. I don't know where you live, but cold if it's cold. I live in Charleston, but beautiful. Just enjoy, look up at the sky. And look and take in the blue sky and take in the beautiful snow if it's snowing, and take a deep breath, because walking actually, or running, I run, it puts you in a cadence of breathing that can bring in oxygen to your brain and your neurotransmitters that help you feel better. So a lot of people feel uncomfortable like breathing, like sitting and breathing and meditating. Walking can put you into that same kind of meditative state, because you're walking.
Good point. The breath might feel more natural because you're exerting yourself. That's a good point.
Exactly. So breathing is so important, because at the end of the day, we may lose everything. We may lose our job. We may lose someone we love in our life, but we'll never lose our breath.
As long as we're alive.
As long as we're alive. So you can always go back to your breath and remember that. Remember that your breath can set you forward. So definitely reach out to one person, you know, get moving. And I would say the third thing is always give yourself a sunshine message in the morning. Be kind to yourself. Write on your mirror in a post-it note. Do we still get post-it notes? I have. I have these little sunshine messages. I have them all over my desk. I have a jar that I'm actually going to be doing these jars this year.
What if you like pull one for the anyone viewing? This is okay. This is a sunshine message for them.
All right, let's do it.
Oh, cute.
All right, so I'm going to do
and your nails, for anyone not watching, those are the most festive nails.
Thank you. I love that. I make myself feel better. Okay, let's pull out a sunshine message. I'm going to
Is this from your company? I see it says Luma on there.
Yeah, I gave out 600 jars of sunshine this year. I gave them out. I have so many pictures of people, of drivers, bus drivers, truck drivers, office workers, who give themselves just a message of sunshine every day.
Love that.
So let's do it. Let's give a message.
Oh, and it's like opening a present too.
I know. It feels so good. I'm going to have these for 20. Okay. Today is going to be a really good day.
Oh,
I love that. And that's our message. So
perfect.
Every day, it's like giving yourself a kind message to know that you're going to be okay. So that's my advice. That's my roadmap for 2026. Dr. Amelia, I'm going to have ripples of sunshine in 2026. I haven't announced it officially yet, but by February, I'm going to offer ripples of sunshine, because at the end of the day, we all need verbal hugs to brighten our day. And everyone needs a hug, even if it's just a little message. This is one I got today. Be your sunshine.
Oh, I love that. My favorite thing about you, Dr. Gina, is that you have this like beautiful way of combining like fun and joy, but with all the, you know, kind of sciencey research behind it. Like, it's like we get to learn and have that kind of serious desire of inquiring scratch while also having fun and being kind to ourselves. So thank you. For that.
Well, thank you for doing what you do to change lives. I'm so proud of you for your TED talk.
And whenever it comes out.
You making the big TED stage, because mental health matters. It matters for every individual. And
agreed.
We have to continue to offer solutions to help people move forward, whether it's a sunshine jar or whether it's screening. Whatever it is, like, thank you so much for your work. And together we can make a difference. And even if it's one person, it matters.
Agreed. Completely.
So thank you.
Yes. Oh, thank you, Dr. Gina Anderson, for coming. I hope everyone is able to take some time to be kind to yourself, kick off this new year with the desire to connect with yourself, maybe your barista, and also... And also seeing how much more you're able to learn when you're in connection. And checking out, Dr. Gina, where can people find your TED Talk? What was it called again? Where can they learn about your amazing company that's gotten quite a few accolades this year, actually?
Oh, thank you. So if you want to learn and get my TEDx talk, you can go to learningwithgina.com. That's my personal website. My TEDx talk is called The Power of Presence. It was actually called Microlearning, The Power of Presence, but it was named on the TEDx stage as The Power of Presence. So
really?
Yes. Yeah, so, but that's okay. It's up there. If you want to learn about Luma, my company, it's lumabrighterlearning.com. I'm also going to have ripplesofsunshine.com. It's my second company I spun up. And honestly, if you want to connect with me, I'll give you my LinkedIn. It's Dr. Gina Anderson. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Instagram. And in fact, my team is putting me on TikTok. So I don't know how that's going to go, but we'll see. But
TikTok,
it's a new
stresses
year.
Me out. It's too much stimulation.
It's a new year. Give yourself a big hug. 2026 is going to be a year to, you know, focus on within. And, you know, if you want resources, definitely I have a lot on my website. But thank you so much for having me on your show. You're making a difference and I love being part of it.
Oh, thank you so much for being with us too. And I hope everyone takes some time to apply all the wonderful recommendations from Dr. Gina today. Happy New Year and be well, everyone.